Well, welcome back to another episode of the DFL Swimming Podcast. Des and I are coming back at you for maybe a little slower of a news week, but some big meets coming up. We'll cover some stuff that happened last week and have another good one. Des, anything? What's happened in your life, man? I think we linked up last week down in Iowa, watched the Gophers take a big loss.
Big loss thing.
But overall, it's good to see you. It's good
Good
to see
to
you, buddy.
see Casey in person again, not over the screen. A little bit different, right?
Good
But
stuff.
yeah, I mean, there was some not a lot going on in the swim world, but there were some good dual meets, some good tri meets we get to talk about today. So excited for that.
Let's just get it kicked off right away. ASU Cal Stanford. Big hitters coming at you
Three big hitters.
last weekend in a 2-day tri meet. What's standing out to you there?
Cal, not looking too hot, ASU kind of kicked their ass on the men's side, at least. It does not look like the normal Cal team that we're kind of used to seeing. Now, again, Cal is always ready to go and primed to swim fast at the end of the season, but they just didn't look like themselves this last weekend. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I think the question is, you're in the Cal camp right now. Is it time to panic of, I mean, the way I look at the results they had this previous week is you're coming off another top three finish, basically, I mean, fighting for the win last year. I look at these results and I'm questioning top five, I'm questioning nearly top 10
Yeah.
results. Now, I don't want to, I mean, we know that Cal doesn't always show up early season, but I mean, I'm looking at Yamoto, who he's himself 5100 breasts fast on relays, outsplitting their backstroker on the 2 med relay. But I think that speaks to exactly where my concern is. When you have your breaststroker outsplitting your back, I mean, talk to me about that, Des. Make me feel better about this.
Yeah,
What's
I don't
going
really
on?
know what to think. Like you said, Cal is always going to perform at the end of the season, so it's hard to look into it. But at the beginning of every season, they look a whole lot better than they did this past weekend. Final score on the men's side, they got beat 134 to 205. Stanford beat them, and then on the ASU side, they got beat 198 to 139. The only positive thing for Cal is their women look pretty good. Their freshmen look pretty good on the women's side.
You can Odell, Claire
Yeah.
Weinstein both look solid.
Weinstein looked good, but from the men's side, men's perspective, you go back to that, like, how do you suit up for a meet being the University of California and you don't have a backstroker go 21 in the 50 back? Like, you are Cal Berkeley. You are supposed to be this, like, amazing swim team, and you can't get a backstroker to break 22. I
Well,
don't.
you look at it. I mean, a program that has consistent years of excellence, and you're just there's seems like the pieces have completely fall apart. I don't know if that's a recruiting breakdown somewhere, or putting too much into that 5th year senior class that they had last year. But I mean, seems like there are, I mean, big holes in this team. I'm looking at sprint freestyle too.
Yeah.
There's not a lot there. I mean, you're getting like a men's 100 free, 1-2-3 by ASU and 1-2'd by Stanford. And when
Yep.
you're looking at relay implications of that, it's not a place that I would like to be in, being the Cal Golden Bears right now.
No, me neither. I'm right there with you. And ASU looked good. They pretty much dominated on both sides.
Yeah.
Both sides of the meet on the men's side, sorry. Women's side was dominated by Stanford. Stanford women, kind of another storyline there. Like, they're looking pretty good. Is that going to be the team that's going to, take over the NCAA this year? Seems like they kind of left off right where they left off last season. New coach, but they look really, really good.
Yeah, they sure do. I think it's really gonna be interesting to see how this keeps going. I mean, you had Tori, like you said. I mean, she's probably spearheading that team this year with under the new coaching staff. Definitely will be interested. It's really an interesting, vibe. What do you think from the standpoint of, Stanford still has one of those teams that's operating gender specific. You're looking at Cal, a team that came together. What are you looking at? I mean, we saw not a collapse of Stanford women over the previous years. Give me your opinion on the split programs. sort of thing that we're seeing.
I really think it's case by case, but if you look at a program like Cal, who is so dominant in the men's side, and then they do combine program, and their women's team has gotten a bit better. You know, they've had their ups and down years. But their men's team, again, like you mentioned, seems like they're on this weird trajectory where, you know, maybe they're not getting better. They're kind of staying stagnant and maybe even getting a little worse comparing them to the Cal of the past 10 years, right? So does combining a program, can Dave Durden not give everyone that attention, right? And in Stanford, you look at Stanford, split programs like you mentioned. Men's side is on the up and up, and the women's side has just been consistently good. Had a couple years in there where they weren't quite the top three Stanford we know, but they're right back where they need to be.
Yeah, no, it's just interesting when you look at it. I mean, you see it here and there across the country, and it's certainly, I think, something we've only seen. There haven't been many programs that have split to be separate. It's primarily only programs combining over time, and Cal obviously being the most recent one that's of a big combined. And I mean, Dave Durden being at the head is what you would want when you're, but it's certainly you're adding a lot more swimmers to the mix, a lot more bodies to focus on. And I wonder if that is a contributing factor. Something's got to give. And when you're looking at potentially the recruiting breakdown that Cal may have had, there are good kids coming in the year. They had another few top 25 guys this year, but something's not clicking. Maybe it's just a matter of the recruits just aren't, they're not where they need to be at this point. Ryan Aaron's been looked good, but I think as fans and you look at what's going on over there, you're wondering, looking for an answer of what possibly went wrong when they had such a good thing going for so many years. So,
yeah. And, you know, it could be with combining programs, like you said, like that's a lot more people you have to pay attention to. How many programs in the nation are combined and are, you know, top three on both sides? Like,
yeah.
Cal, I guess, is maybe one of them, but like, even then, like, their men's program has fallen off a little bit.
Yeah.
UVA won on the women's side, but their men were like 32nd last year.
Yep.
Right. Texas, yeah. Combined now.
They were another one. Yeah. They were separate until Bob came in.
And they're probably the only one that is super, super successful on both sides. But Bob's kind of has that churning over there.
I don't know. Well, that's an interesting point. Florida certainly has, you know, had success on both sides for the recent history. But yeah, no, it's a good point when you look at some of those. Indiana certainly has been good both sides.
But it's hard to be consistently good on both sides, right? Mm-hmm. Like, even if you look at the Florida team, Florida might be placing top three, but on the men's side, but their women's team is maybe sitting more around that seven. Well,
and when you bring up Virginia too, when you have a women's team that is producing NCAA champions, Olympians, you're right where they are right now. You're going to be pouring your resources towards that inevitably rather than, and it's easier for, well, maybe something's going to fall through the cracks on the men's side. And they were, it took a few years and now maybe they're riding the ship, insane recruiting class, obviously, but I think it's a natural tendency for that to happen when you have such a big talent bridge. And maybe that's what's going on at Cal. Their women were a little bit shaky after the whole head coaching situation that went down on the women's side. You know, maybe Dave stepped in, said we got to right the ship here, and that allowed for a gap to open up on the men's side, and that's what we're seeing now. But
yeah,
definitely concerning there, but something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I think that the Cal women are definitely, that ship's definitely straightening out a little bit. You know, Tegan Odell and Claire Weinstein are two recruits that could totally change the trajectory of your team, even as freshmen. So it'll be interesting to see how they develop over the year and kind of what's in store for them.
Yeah, definitely. Well, speaking of UVA, UVA-UNC also last week, they had a little interesting of a format. I believe they did all the 50s of stroke and the 1,000 in the morning, and then the afternoon they did the hundreds and 200s, five free. Did they do 2 IM, 4 IM? I'm not sure. I have to take a look at that. Interesting format that we saw. We saw that repeated this week with Georgia versus Florida. They did the 50s of stroke on Thursday night, though, and then did the 100s and 200s on Friday morning. So it just speaks again. We're seeing just a ridiculous variety of dual meet formats this year, which I, in a way, I like, but it also makes it really hard as a fan of someone who's trying to things week to week of what's happening when and what format are they doing? What's give me your opinion on that first, and then let's get into this.
I think it's interesting. Like, it's fun to see, you know, 50s of stroke. It's fun to see. I think that at this meet specifically, they had relays just A on each side. So it was A relay versus A relay. Like 50 freestyle, I think they just had two people in the pool. It's like cool format. You know, like you mentioned, Florida's doing it as well. But like, there needs to be some sort of consistency in the sport, especially as we're trying to grow it. So if we want to make it more interesting, and this is the way we want to go, if, you know, if that's true, then we need to make it more consistent across the NCAA. Because like you said, as someone who maybe isn't a fan of swimming, that's trying to be, you know, what are they looking for? Where's the consistency? Like, you don't see in college football, you don't see them changing the rules game by game. You don't see them changing the format of the game by game, right? Like, it's consistent across the NCAA.
Yeah, I think I was going to say the exact same thing. I mean, you just want a consistent product that is replicable, and that's what we're talking about these dual meet tournaments too. It's a great idea, but when a fan knows there's a dual meet tournament happening, I think it's only beneficial that if that format and that weekend is going to look the same, and that doesn't mean that we can work towards making the best. What is the best format? But I think that needs to be the goal that we're working towards. One set format, one dual meet format, one dual meet tournament format, and one NCAA conference championship meet format. I don't think we can just stay in this limbo where it's like, oh, it's just really fun. Like, let's just keep mixing it up and just trying something different. At a certain point, you have to work towards actually one consistent product that is what it's going to be. And then I think you can actually market that better. Let's get into this. UVA men came out the win, same with the UVA women. Big swims, I hate to admit it, Maximus Thomas had a couple really big wins that really made it tough for UNC down the stretch. And they're your boys. Talk to me, Dez.
I mean, the men's side won by 1 point. It was 145 to 144. Yeah. UNC had diving, UVA did not. So I think that's where a lot of the scoring comes from. But yeah, the biggest swim for me was that Claire Curzan 200 backstroke. She went 147, which is pretty freaking ridiculous if you ask me.
Yep.
Time of year.
That's a solid swim for this time of year. A couple other ones that stood out to me, other than Claire, obviously, that's Vic Thomas, obviously 141, two fly, 44.5, 100 fly. Let's see, Ben Delmer was 152.
And then 5200, and they had another guy who was 51 on the 100. UNC breaststroke looks strong.
Yeah, UNC breaststroke, yeah, Xavier Ruiz too, yeah, he was 51. But Ben Delmer had a really solid summer this year, so it's interesting to see when you look at someone in a two-breast field that ended up being wide open last year. I think you could argue the door might be open there. Texas has a really strong breaststroke group, but that's an interesting storyline to watch.
200 breasts is going to be one of those events this year, and you know, seeing someone like Ben Delmar swim really fast now was pretty cool to see.
Yeah, no, for sure. Also, one thing we didn't forgot to mention here is they had throughout this meet they had like a couple like head to head races.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what was going on there?
No, I think they're just trying to make it a little more interesting. I think it's just in the sprints as well.
Yeah, you know, we've seen that a little bit before with, I think it was like UVA Texas or something.
UVA Texas has done it.
Where they did some of these just like 1v1 things, which
it makes it more interesting. I think
interesting. Yeah. No. It's certainly it's like that marquee event thing that they're talking like that verbiage that's been thrown around. I mean, you try to focus the whole crowd on one event, 1v1. The race is only as good as the people who are going to be in it. If that's actually going to be a close race, I think for one event they did for sure was the 50 free. You had Claire Curzan versus Cameron Mesgill. 21.4 was Claire, 22.3 Cameron. That's an awesome. When you look at the men's side though, then you get Jack Akins versus Martin Kartavi, 19.4, 19.5. Now that's
that's
that adds a little bit more intrigue to it. And that's only going to be situational, but it's one of those things that's, I guess, worth noting again. Another difference that you see here and there, this is not something that UVA has done this a few times now. It hasn't been seen anywhere else. I don't know. I don't know what to say about that.
It's interesting. Again, maybe adds a cool aspect, but we do need to get to that consistency of dual meets like we talked about. One thing that looks a little troubling is, like, if UVA wants to swim super well this year and seems like they're swimming well, their breaststrokers need to be a lot better than they are. You can't win relays, can't place high on relays, NCAAs, if you don't have a breaststroker that's doing it for you. And they just got absolutely dominated in that category.
Yeah, no, that is going to be an issue for them if they cannot get that sorted. I believe it's Thomas's brother is their breaststroker, primary breaststroker right now.
Yes.
I mean, what was he?
Actually, he makes even solid swims, but, like, you know, there's no depth there after him either. Yeah.
Jay Gerloff swam 50 breaths on their 2-meter relay, 24.2. And so maybe they're trying to figure it out still, but
yeah,
when you look at their other splits, 20.0 fly, 19.0, I mean, the pieces are there come.
You just need that one.
Yeah, that's an issue that they're gonna need to sort out.
Need to take
a win. Still got the win there, but
some trouble maybe in paradise there.
Yeah. You mentioned Maximus 132.3, good swim there. Mm-hmm. But with that, I think we should move on to Texas, Tennessee. In Austin, I believe it was.
Yep.
Another Texas came out with the win, both sides there. A few notables there. Eva Acaro, freshman from Texas, was fast. Like I mentioned already, the breaststroke group for the men's side, at the very least, looking very good.
Tennessee sprinters look good, man. I mean, the one place that Tennessee got Texas in was the sprint relays and just sprinting in general.
Well, yeah, when you got Geekery, I mean, you're sure hoping you're going to get a win in the 50.
Yeah, very true.
Texas obviously is trying to remedy that with Rafael Fendomers. He's looking solid. Garrett Gold looking good. But like we said, I mean, you didn't know what Tennessee was going to look like with the exit of Jordan Crooks.
Yeah, I mean, was Tennessee going to fall off? Were they able to get enough pieces to keep those relays at the top of the NCAA? And it seems like they did. But again, still early on in the season. Rex Maurer had himself a meet.
Yeah.
Another big news in Texas news is Luka Mihajlovic was just committed to UT. Probably one of the biggest recruits in recent years, if not the biggest, looking really good for the future of Texas there.
Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, certainly it'll be interesting to see. I mean, he's obviously a big distance talent right now. When you look at an NCAA lineup too, you want someone who can stretch to that. Could they be on a 4-free relay, a free, you'd expect that he'd be there.
This is the guy that when Rex Maurer gets out of there, he's going to step in and just take his place.
You're looking at Texas was able to capitalize big time when their sprint freestyle group was really lackluster. Luke Hobson was able to step in and produce big splits for them to salvage some points, even on their 2-free relay. So when you're looking at someone, if he can develop in that area, the freestyle range, he's going
to be huge. He already has that 200, 500 mile, right? Can he?
Right. Yeah. That won't be a concern, especially Bob has proven that he's able to, you know, keep those, that type of talent moving in the right direction. Hubie Koch not present here this week, I think, coming off the World Cup. Any other names missing?
I mean, the biggest swims, I think, are, you know, 410 in the 500 for Rex Maurer, 842 in the 1,000 is pretty ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Nate German-Pare was 50.6 in the 100 breast. I think that's leading the NCAA or right on it. You know, fast swims for Texas, beginning of the year, not really surprising at all. On the women's side, University of Tennessee kind of got dominated a little bit. They had really quick swims. Camille Spink looks really, really good, but the Texas women dominated them in this meet.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Jillian Cox, 9.26 in the 1,000, notable swim there. One thing I missed, David Johnston also not here.
Yes.
You're definitely looking, I mean, coming back into the fold this year is someone you need
production from on the distance side. They obviously have Rex.
Summer to keep an eye on too. We didn't talk about the beginning of the year, but Baylor Nelson was a big transfer get for them. Went to Texas A&M, and he might be a really big depth piece for them this year. Yeah. Really, he was like one of the top recruits coming to high school, and so has been really good at Texas A&M. But kind of, what can Bob do for him this year? And it looks like
on any other team, he's your stud, and he just like slides in as like a depth piece on the Texas team.
Ridiculous, right?
It is what it is, but definitely, yeah.
Texas might struggle this spring.
All in all,
we'll keep an eye on that too.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Louisville, Auburn, Tennessee, another tri meet. Tennessee was back in action. Another tough one this weekend. Louisville came out with a sweep on men's and women's side, which honestly, maybe I'm sleeping on Louisville, but that's quite a result. Tough slide for Tennessee back-to-back weeks
to get shut out.
I don't know. I guess I don't know the Auburn. I'm guessing that Tennessee came out on the Auburn versus the Auburn.
Yeah. I'm not seeing the scores for the Auburn-Tennessee meet, but
based on the results I saw, I would have to, there's the only
there way. There has to be. The Louisville-Tennessee meet on both sides is really close, within 10 points on both sides. Tennessee just came up short. I don't know where they lost this meet. You know, Louisville kind of dominated throughout. Took the 200 medley relay to start the meet, which to me was really surprising. And they have some really solid freshmen there at Louisville.
We were just talking about that before we hopped on here. Mm-hmm. A lot of good young talent here on this Louisville team. We were just talking the anchor split there on that Louisville 200 relay, Nikita Shremet.
Yeah.
That's what you get at when with this international scene. You got guys slipping into the NCAA who aren't on swim cloud, and they swim this first meet, goes 18-4 on the anchor of a 2-minute relay. And
yep.
Sounds good.
Yep.
But that's an exciting, it's a good, I think it's kind of cool that way. You keep talent sliding in like that.
You look at the breaststrokers. You can just look at the 100 breaststroke. You have the guy who plays second for Tennessee is a freshman. The guy who plays third for Louisville is a freshman. Guy who plays fourth for Louisville is a freshman. Guy who plays fifth for Auburn is a freshman. Like, there is a lot of young pieces here on all three teams, honestly.
One thing I was looking at, Daniel Krzyzewski from Auburn. We talked about him in the dual meet tournaments a couple weeks ago. I think he did win the 200 free against Minnesota. He was like 135, maybe.
Yeah,
he goes here. He goes 132.7, I thought was like.
I mean,
we've seen that. I guess C time was 133.7. Not sure when he went that. Maybe that was at the dual meet, and I just missed it.
Yeah,
in the tournament. But 132.7, is legit. That's actually funny. Swimming with some Israelis,
it seems those boys, they like their long course. And it seems like we've seen this type of progression on ourselves, where it seems like each. Short course yards meet, they swim. They're just
every single time they touch the water.
That's an interesting storyline to see with some of these international recruits when they first come over, is the progression over some of these first couple of meets that they're swimming.
You can like see the gears turning in their heads every time they touch the water.
Comes up quick. Julia Dennis, Camille Spink, 50 free was a tight one, 21-2, 21-3. Julia Dennis came out with the win there.
Karibe 18.7. He's spitting out
18, up.
It's his job at this point.
Yeah, 41.6 in the 102. Another great swim. Camille Spink came out on top in the 100 free, 46.5. Great swim there.
41.6, 42.2, 100 free for Tennessee. Keep an eye on them for relays throughout this year. I mean,
yeah,
form for relays, they can find another 18. They're that fourth 18 for that relay. You're looking at possibly winning that.
Yep, for sure. Greg Enoch, Louisville sophomore, I believe, was one of the top recruits, I think, coming out of last year.
Mm-hmm.
He was not, I think he was at NC's, but definitely someone that you'd look to turn the page this year and actually, you know, live up to that hype.
Definitely something that stood out. He got the win in the 2IM, 145, mm-hmm. but speaking of the 2IM, I really haven't seen, I'd have to take a look on the rankings of this year, but 2IM just, like, we've seen some fast swims already this year, but 2IM is one that, I mean, I know it's a big, I mean, that can be a big taper event, but talk to me, I feel like that has been an event that's been lagging behind. 142.7, Baylor Nelson's the fastest swim we've seen this year. Rex Maurer, 142.7 as well. But, I mean, when you're looking at an NCAA winning time, usually in the 139, 138.
Yeah, it's one that range.
I mean,
you think you'd get someone
close. Maybe. It just feels like some of the event wins that we've seen out of in the 2IM have not like been extremely impressive to me. I don't know if I'm completely off on that.
I agree, because if you look at any other event, right now, if you go to the 200 breasts last year, I think it was 148 high, 149 low on it. You have a 151 already 151 this year.
Already.
100 breasts to 49, one at yard, but 50 point. Like, you're usually within a second or two within that range in most of these events.
I don't know.
But not in the 2IM. I don't know what that is.
I don't know. Something I noticed there.
I wonder if there's been a lack of teams swimming it because of all the different format changes we've seen, whether it's the dual meet tournament, you're swimming a format like...
Well, I mean, you also get... I mean, other events, you're getting kids swim it every single meet. 2IM gets split 50-50, let's say, with 1-2. So you have kids who just aren't... It doesn't get swam as much until you get to mid-season time, where I'm sure things... But we will see fast swims at that point. But definitely interesting there. Last meet we got to cover here was Georgia, Florida. We covered it briefly. Same kind of format, those 50s in the first session and then the 100s and 200s in the Friday morning session that they had. Big storyline, Josh Liendo back in action following a big last stop in the World Cup Series. Dez, walk me through it.
Just going to start out with 19.6 50 fly. Unofficial NCAA record. If you don't know, the NCAA doesn't technically count the 50s of strokes as official events, but there are people out there that do keep track of it, and that is the fastest swim to ever be swum in a 50 fly.
I mean, that's not too shabby. It's one of those things that was like
6.50 free.
Yeah. It's one of those things like, I mean, I guess,
yeah.
I mean, it is the NCAA record. I guess it's one of those people that they obviously keep track of relay splits, fastest ever, everything like that.
One thing I wonder is, I wonder if it'll take till the next Olympic cycle when we see the 50s of stroke at the Olympics, if that would potentially influence the NCAA to introduce 50s, because that was something that was a topic of discussion with as an NCAA change, and it didn't pan out. But if you start seeing this in more dual meet formats, I honestly do like, I like this format, I do. But if we see this more and more, I wonder if that will influence the NCAA to consider the 50s of stroke. Because
I think the reason why the NCAA doesn't consider 50s of stroke is it's going to lengthen out the meet by an extra couple days, right? Maybe an extra day. I just feel like trying to throw 50s in there into an already long 4-day meet, I think you'd have to make it a 5-day meet. And it's like,
they love marquee events that are exciting.
What are you going to do, right? My question for you is another 43.8 in the 100 fly for Josh. Is he coming off of swimming a world record at the World Cup and a really, really great World Cup series? Do you think he's primed right now for action and shaved and, you know, maybe a little rested, or does he have more in his bag?
I'd have to imagine he is at least partially. I mean, I can't imagine that they would do a full tape based on his first 2 weeks of the World Cup. I don't think it really would have made a whole lot of sense to do it. They maybe were doing some sort of rest plan from event to event. I can't imagine he would have been done like a full taper. I mean, maybe trimmed, maybe shaved. I mean, I know he was rocking the beard for that last World Cup. So you can't, it's obviously not full preparation, but he could that is to go that fast right now is he's been shot. We were joking. He's got he doesn't have a team record, an individual team record at Florida.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? Like he's like probably the fastest guy in the NCAA right now. Like not a single team record.
That would be tough history to go out of college with.
He looks good to go. I mean, his first year swimming without crooks, and it 50 free, 100 free, 100 fly, like those events are his to lose right now with crooks gone. Maybe a guy like Caribe could kind of step in and put a kink in that wrench, but I don't know. I mean, he looks really, really good. Here's the other thing. You talk about Cal being a team that's always primed for the end of the season. Florida's the same way. Florida's a team who, same with Cal, you know, they will train through September, train through October, train through November, and they get their asses kicked week after week after week, and then they're ready to perform coming NCAAs and SECs. But to see him performing like this right now, I don't know. It's kind of exciting.
Yeah, that's a very good sign for them, I would have to imagine. They're happy about that. You look at someone, Johnny Marshall has looked so-so this year. But that's to be expected with Florida, I think. They'll need him to step up. Ahmed Jouaudi is living up to the hype so far that we've seen. 836,000 free is a...
number four all time.
Not bad. Not bad. He's 415 in the 500. Not quite as good. Other big swims.
He's another story, though, where you talk about doesn't have a lot of short course yards training.
Yeah.
And every time he's touched the pool so far this year, he keeps getting better, and he's already seen at number four all time. Zin, like, how good is this guy going to be?
I think he could be. I think now you are looking at NCAA win being not a must, but you're not looking at this year as a great success. He's obviously going to run into people like Zalen Sarkany, David Johnston, but we'll see midseason when some suited, slightly rested mile times roll in, but I would be for sure looking to him to be winning that mile this year. So keep that.
Scotty Buff
hasn't looked awesome this year. Obviously, he's going to need to be a big piece of their relays this year, so hopefully that speed is coming around. One big piece that we needed to touch on, Florida breaststroke. Is not great. They have Alexis Savickas, who's more of, I would say, a 200 type breaststroke guy. Mm-hmm.
But even he does not look like he's gone 22 before in the 50 breaststroke, I believe.
Yeah,
he's gone. You know,
inconsistency too, and that's been the story. He's a senior now, and we've seen. Yeah, he's had great swims every single year, but when you look at his, NCAA resume, there have been some, I would argue, big misses in there.
The weird thing is you look at his best 50 or his best 100 and 200 yard breaststroke times, 50.00 in the 100 breast and 149.8 in the 200 breast, all come from March 16th, 2023, which was a University of Florida inter-squad meeting. Going to be 3 years point. Ago coming up, like,
yeah, no.
So they need him to show up when it actually matters this year. It's his last chance to do it. So they have another freshman, Neil Cadavelle. He's 53.9. It's one of those things. Is like, I mean, who knows? Is he still? I mean, maybe he'll be the 50 point guy they need come year end 22. But right now, it looks like that's a concern for them. And something that they need to get sorted out quickly, because Florida relays are an institution, and right now they're gonna need some help there.
Yeah.
I don't have too much else out of this. I mean, anything on the women's side stood out?
Nothing too crazy. I mean, the Georgia women got dominated by Florida. Florida women look solid. Nothing too crazy coming out of there. Couple of good swims, but I think the main meet was on the men's side.
I forgot to mention, 100 breast on the women's side, Anita Batazzo, 57.0.
yes
she's been fast this year.
51.5 from Katie Choate.
Yeah,
Thomas Koski looks really good. Tomas Koski from Georgia. He's
no Luka for the Georgia men, so that's a big miss there.
Wondering kind of where he is.
Yep.
I've
seen injuries in the past with Luka, so it's always certainly I hope that's not the case, but you could just
Yeah. Another kind of ridiculous one on the woman's side, 25-7-50 breast split from Anita.
She's cooking.
That's cooking.
All right, well, good stuff. Yeah, we mentioned world record for Liendo. Just want to throw that out there again. Yeah, he's
there's a lot of world records that went down at the World Cup.
Yeah,
that last stop in Toronto was pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, it was.
It's one of those. I mean, you listen to SwimSwam breakdown, there's a lot of discussion about the world records. And I think, I don't know, can you remember off the top of your head how many world records were broken through the World Cup series? It was like 5, 6, 7 or something, 8?
Oh, maybe? It was more than that. I think it was close to...
Well, yeah, that's my thing.
What do you take from it? I know it's, the world record is a world record, but to me, the short course meters, where does that fall on your...
It's definitely not. It's not long course meters, right? It's not even short.
It's not even NCAA. That's to me. If you break an NCAA record, you're going to do a lot better than.
Yes.
Josh Liendo is not breaking a hundred fly NCAA record at a midseason meet.
No, he's not. Short course meters is probably the most untapped, just because there hasn't been a lot of you have the. You have short course worlds, right? But a lot of the best swimmers in the world don't even go to that. So it's where are the fastest world records coming from? A lot of the world records are actually coming from ISL, which doesn't even exist anymore. Like you look at a lot of those Dressel records, you have a lot of records that went down in ISL, and that was where a lot of those short course meters records come from. And that's not even a thing anymore. It's a very untapped pool.
There's not a lot of meets that bring people together. Consistently, the best swimmers in the world consistently to swim short course meters. You have the world championships every other year, but when you're a sport that's focused on a 4-year cycle, you inevitably have people who aren't going to participate in those, or they're doing this, doing that. They're not in that pool. They're probably not full. They would be fully tapered, everything like that. But the focus isn't there, and so I think. That makes some of these, it just seems like for a World Cup, which, I know it's a big event, but for that many world records to go in down in one meet, it's obviously fast, but it's just interesting, and it almost, not that it makes it mean less, but it's this seems like...
Yes.
Many meets where you're breaking that many world records that's...
This World Cup was set up perfectly time-wise, where it was, October to November. Or I guess month of October, it was in the U.S. So you have a lot of college athletes who are going to be able to compete in that, where in previous years, you're all going all the way to Europe or somewhere in Asia, and it just doesn't seem plausible for those college athletes who a lot of times are the fastest swimmers in the world, right? You look at Liendo, Koch, those are two of the fastest swimmers in the world who probably wouldn't be able to compete in the World Cup if it wasn't in the U.S. And then you look at, short course meters worlds, right? They always hold it at the worst time. It's always middle of December. Again, college athletes can't really go and compete in that when they have maybe midseason meets they want to compete for or other obligations over here in the U.S. You don't really see a lot of those fastest swimmers ever go over there. So I think that this World Cup kind of gave some of those swimmers a chance to compete and go for those records, which they probably don't really have that chance to otherwise.
Yeah, I think it was a perfect storm. You're probably right. There is other than Australia, the U.S. The U.S. does have the most talent here, international and domestic. So you get everyone here, make it easy as possible for them to get to the meet, and things are going to happen.
Yeah. Sure.
With that, I think we yapped a little bit too much again, Des. And so we're not going to cover the CSCAA pod. We're going to keep that as a teaser one more time. We might have to just do its own pod.
It might. We can talk about that forever. And again, if you have not listened to that, why don't you go listen to that for our next episode and get talking about that?
Yeah, no, there's some interesting points in there. But I think we need a little bit more time. selfishly, the Minnesota Vikings are playing in approximately 9 minutes. So
more important things at hand.
Like we said, I know there's a football game happening in 9 minutes. I know there's gonna be four quarters, 60 minutes of action, and I go to a swim meet, who knows what's gonna happen. So I'll give it a little shout out to the Minnesota Gophers. They got the border battle this weekend. Wisconsin, tune into that, folks. That should be a good one.
It's a big one.
With that, Dez, any final takes you want to make? Any throw yourself out there? We good? Any plugs?
No, nothing else. Let's have a great week. Talk to you guys soon.
Yeah, we'll try to get back into it. Yeah, we had a little scheduling issue, but yeah, we'll be back with a good one next week. And yeah. With that, yeah, get in the comments, get the conversation started, and catch you in the next one.
Peace.